Good afternoon. That was a split sermon earlier, though, by the way. It was said sermonette, so don't be afraid. We won't be going that late. So my question for you this afternoon with my split sermon here is, do you know Jesus Christ? We just heard that we'd be talking about that this month. Do you really know who he is? Do you know what he expects from you? And really, what do we need to know? And who do you believe? You know, Christ is talked about all the time. All the time you hear mention of Jesus Christ, especially this time of year. I'll tell you a little story. I went to a funeral 2 weeks ago, and there was a minister there giving this funeral. It was not from United Church of God. And he was talking about Jesus Christ, and everything he said sounded good, and everybody was happy with what he said. And they talked about this person who was being buried, that he wasn't really very religious, but he had been baptized like about 35 years ago. And so don't worry, everything was okay. So we hear these things, and who do we believe? It's Christmas now, Christmas time. We just had that sermon on it. People talk about Jesus constantly at this time of year, and they'll say to you, what's your problem? Why don't you want to support Jesus and do what he wants? You know, this is the time of year to do it. People's hearts are open to Jesus Christ right now. A lot of things being said about Jesus Christ. You'll hear that, you know, things change. It's 2,000 years later, times change. Jesus Christ himself came to this world to make changes. So, what do you believe? And, of course, we always hear, we don't have to be under all those laws and regulations. We're free. Jesus Christ freed us. Well, did Jesus Christ come and change what had always been in place? We're going to look at that today. Let's turn to Hebrews 13, verse 8. Did Jesus Christ come to this world and make changes that we can all live how we want to today? Well, we're often told. And does it matter? Well, I would say that it does matter. It makes a huge impact on our lives. Now, knowing who Jesus is and what he expects of us, it affects every part of our life, how we live, and how we serve Jesus Christ. So let's look at this in Hebrews 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the scripture we're going to be concentrating on this afternoon. I'll just go on and read verse 9. You might say, so, well, that's great. Well, it says in verse 9, do not be carried away about with various strange doctrines. So there's a warning that goes along with that. And it's important for us to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and today. It affects how we look at the entire plan of Jesus Christ in the past and the present and what's going to happen in the future. And we can strengthen our relationship with Jesus Christ based on this understanding and improve our daily walk as servants of Christ. So let's look at that. The same yesterday. What does that mean? Well, here under the old covenant before Jesus Christ came to this earth. So I'm going to read from Genesis 1:26 just to kind of put a basis on this. Of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the creator of all things. And we're going to look at that. Now this verse was read just a couple weeks ago. But it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And that's God and the Word, who later became Jesus Christ. I'd like to turn over to John 1:1 as well. And we'll see here that Jesus Christ is the one who created all things. There are some that teach that Jesus Christ was one of the created beings. And we'll see here that he was not. He's not an angel or any other kind of created being. He was there with God the Father in the beginning. In John 1:1, it's a familiar scripture to many of us, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God." And then verse 3, it says, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So these scriptures right here tell us something very important. There's two direct statements that Jesus Christ was the creator mentioned in the Old Testament. And it's said twice there. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. Now when you're reading through the Old Testament, it'll talk about God being the creator of the universe. We read part of that in Genesis 1. And when those early followers in the Bible were talking about God, it was the Word, the Lord, as mentioned in the Old Testament, who later became Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, so what? Well, it makes a difference. It makes a difference knowing that Christ was there in the beginning, and he loved us through this entire plan. Many times people say, well, that was the old way. Now we're in a new plan. It's kind of like we're in plan B now. And that was plan A. It didn't work out. And that's not the case. The plan started at the beginning, and it is continuing to this day. I'd like to turn over to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, and we'll read a little bit more about this. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, it starts out saying, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact." I'll just stop right there, saying that these misconceptions of who Jesus Christ is or is not a new thing. This was written almost 2,000 years ago, and it was saying that people were ignorant of the facts about Jesus Christ. And it continues today. "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And then in verse 3 it says, "They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." And that's very important for us to understand that it was the Word, Jesus Christ, who was there at the beginning. And this was part of his plan. If you skip down to verse 11, it says, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings to us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall." So getting back to the, you know, so what for us. These things happened as all part of the plan for us to become closer to Christ, and it's a continuation of his plan. In the world in general, it doesn't associate Jesus Christ as the God in the Old Testament. There's a big separation there. But when you do, it really changes your perception of who Jesus Christ is and was and will be. Now, Jesus Christ was the one spoken there with Moses, the one Moses talked to, the one who brought the plagues in Egypt, and the one who will be coming back in the future. Often what you'll hear is, well, Jesus Christ came to this world, and he brought something new for us, a new commandment. And we're going to go look at that real quick. In Matthew 22, verse 36. And this is often called the golden rule. And people will quote it all the time. It's a very, very common quote. And it's people say, this is what you need to do now. This is what Jesus Christ says that you need to do. And we'll read that, indeed he did. So in Matthew 22, verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets and the prophets. This scripture is quoted over and over by society. The same people who will say that Old Testament stuff is done away with. Well, if somebody says that to you, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. And we're going to look at a couple scriptures that say that there's nothing new about this scripture here in Matthew. In Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, I'll just read it here. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then in verse 5 it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The exact same words that Jesus Christ said in Matthew. And if you turn over to Leviticus 19, verse 18, we'll see the other part of that same scripture that was quoted in Matthew. Leviticus 19, verse 18. It says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So there it is. Right in the Old Testament, the exact words that people will quote to you saying that Jesus Christ came and changed everything. He said the same thing thousands of years before that. So there's not that separation that people often think. They are the same God. It's the same plan. I'd like to turn over to 1 Peter 1, verse 20. We'll look at this verse. It shows that the word Jesus Christ was there at the very beginning, before man ever existed, and is a creator. Now, in the Compass Check, we're talking about this topic of who is Jesus Christ, and there's a little quiz that goes along with that. At school, they'll say, this is on the test. Well, this scripture is on that test, so listen up, because you'll have to answer this one if you're going to the youth lessons. 1 Peter 1, verse 20. It says, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was there before the foundation of the world, and all that was here for us and for the plan of the future. Since the beginning, that plan was being carried out by the Word, by Jesus Christ. And it's for us today. It was the same yesterday, it's the same today, and forever. And knowing this, it can change the way you look at what we're supposed to do with our lives, how we live. Let's look at Malachi 3, verse 6. We're going to get into the today part. How does this apply for us today? People will say, we're under that new covenant. You know, this is the new plan. But like I said before, this is not plan B. It's just a continuation of the plan of God, the Father, and Jesus Christ that continues today. And it was all put in place to draw us nearer to him, that we can eventually serve him in his kingdom. In Malachi 3, verse 6, it says, for I am the Lord, and I do not change. And then he goes on to say, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. So people change. They leave the plan. They leave the way that God wanted them to live, that Jesus Christ wanted them to live. It's not that the plan changed. People leave it. Another scripture that will often be used, I'm going to turn to Matthew 5, verse 17. You might hear somebody say, well, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Well, look at this in Matthew 5, verse 17. And this scripture is used probably more in the United Church of God than most other scriptures. I know it's used probably at least once a month in sermons. In Matthew 5, verse 17, it says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away, will pass from the law until all is fulfilled. And people say, look, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law so that we don't have to obey him anymore. Like you guys are, like we are in this church. And the meaning of that word, fulfilled, gets distorted. And if you look just in this chapter, Matthew 5 and verse 17, you look what's said just after that. Jesus Christ goes on to say in verse 21 that murder begins in the heart. And then in verse 27, adultery is in the heart. He forbids oaths, and it says to go farther, love your enemies. Clearly, he's stating that fulfilling it is not getting away with it. It actually told people how to use the law appropriately to apply it to their lives. That's where the problem was. People were not using the law as it was meant to be at that time. And his example, this example that things are unchanging should strengthen us, strengthen our commitment to him. I'd like to turn over to 1 John 2, verse 3. Now, part of this was just read in the previous sermon. But it puts a direction for us. How we know what to do? How do we know what Jesus Christ wants from us? In 1 John 2, in verse 3, it says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also walk just as he walked. And that's what we want to do. We want to know Jesus Christ, right? We want to serve him. How do you know that you're doing it correctly? This lays it out, how to do it. And it's the same that it's always been. You know, those rules were there for all time. It's people's ideas that have distorted it and gone astray. Think of how people perceive God of the Old Testament and Jesus Christ. If you ask somebody to draw a picture of God, or a kid to draw a picture of God or show you a picture of God, they would probably put up something like what we saw of Odin there, sitting in that big throne, a big beard, maybe looking kind of like Santa Claus, but a lot meaner. an old, harsh God. And if you said, well, show me a picture of Jesus Christ, I would bet that my daughter, who's 5 years old, would be able to show a picture of who Jesus Christ is. It's in our society. It permeates everything. And if you were to say that old picture was Jesus Christ, people would think it wouldn't make any sense to people. See, but the thing is, it's the same person, the same God, through both. So we have to watch for that. How the world's perceptions influence us. And, of course, this time of year especially, you'll see that. You'll see the Jesus Christ being thin, the long hair. And I'll just take a second to mention the long hair issue and how Jesus Christ is often portrayed. He's a weak person, extremely gentle, going around just saying that he loves everybody, that kind of thing. Well, Paul wrote, you don't need to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 11:14 says, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him?" This would not have been written by one of the apostles if Jesus Christ had long hair. Those images that we get in our minds of who Jesus Christ is are based on some artist and the world. It is not what's true from the Bible. Another thing that you look at those pictures of Jesus Christ, of how Jesus Christ is portrayed, and he sticks out. He's probably wearing some kind of white robe, pale skin, dark, long hair. Sticks out of the crowd. Well, if you look at the story of when he was betrayed by Judas, Judas had to go up and give him a kiss because the people arresting him would not know who he was. Just another thing to think about to try to prevent the world's influence from affecting us. He looked like an ordinary person at the time. He wasn't that weak, long hair, maybe effeminate type person that we often hear about and see. Now, there's much information on this topic in this booklet, Jesus Christ, the Real Story. Much of the information from this sermon came from this booklet. I would encourage you to read it. It's very good. But Jesus Christ, when he was here on this earth, he wasn't this real tender guy. If you read the story in John 2:13, he went into the temple and made a whip and kicked everybody out, ran out animals, was thrown over tables. He was able to be strong. He wasn't this weak, calm individual or gentle all the time. Not that he was aggressive, but he wasn't what we often imagine. He was a carpenter, hung out with fishermen, commercial fishermen, and they followed him and respected him greatly. And back to that, so what? What does it matter what he looked like? People say it doesn't matter. We want to follow him. Well, it does matter. It matters because it affects how we have Jesus Christ in our mind. And that affects how we serve him, how we think of him. And it also affects how we know that he will be when he comes back to this world. And that brings us to that same forever. Jesus Christ is the same forever. He is coming back, and he's going to finish what he has planned from the beginning. And that should be very encouraging to us. That is going to happen, that Jesus Christ will not just change his mind all of a sudden and say, this isn't working out, we're going to do something different. No, it's the plan continuing through time. Turn over to Hebrews 12, verse 1. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us. And he goes on to say, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we have something to do. It says, get going to it. He goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's the encouraging part to us there. Jesus Christ is the author of our faith. He started it, and he is intending to see it through to the end. Continues on. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I would recommend reading through Hebrews. It gives a lot of information about the relationship between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and New Testament. It's a good read. This month, maybe when we're looking at this topic of who is Jesus Christ, it would be a good book to read. Let's turn over to Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Once again, yesterday, today, and forever. Then down in verse 17, it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. So we are not to be afraid of this plan. It's there for us. So Jesus Christ overcame death, and the plan is there that he will see us through to the kingdom as well. It's very encouraging that that plan has not stopped, and the hope is there for all mankind. Well, Jesus Christ, he's going to return someday, maybe soon. And he's pictured, you can read on in Revelation, he'll be on a white horse, and he's coming back, and with war will be with him against people who oppose him, nations that oppose him. And he will punish those nations, and he'll take charge and be the king. And he will bring peace to this world that is just bent on its own destruction. He is a Savior. He's our Savior. You know, he's not that weak person that we often see in pictures. And he's going to come back and complete what he started. This is very important to think about because it is our future. It's what will happen. I'll just mention 1 Thessalonians 4:15. We won't turn there. But it talks about the same thing and says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's what the hope that we have, that this plan will be seen through to the end, that we will be there with the Lord. So we have to ask ourselves, will I be there? Will you be there? We all have that opportunity. It is possible. And it's part of that unchanging plan of Jesus Christ and God the Father, part of our salvation. Jesus Christ will return in the future, and he'll take his place as king. And where will we find ourselves at that point? Like we read in 1 John, following his ways, hopefully that's what will be, his unchanging plan. Let's skip down to Revelation, since we're already there, 22 verse 12. It says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. And that's what we all hope for. That is the plan, and Jesus Christ will see it to the end. He's going to establish his kingdom here on earth, and that has been the plan from the beginning. So what do we do with this? The Bible, it says a lot about Jesus Christ, obviously. There's a lot to learn from our booklets that we need to know. We need to know these things. People, the world, they have ideas of Jesus Christ, of who he is, who he was. And those things, they affect us, and we need to be careful with that. We need to remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not that there was an old harsh God and a now new gentle Jesus Christ. He was there at the foundation of the world. And knowing this and understanding this affects how we live our lives. We want to serve Jesus Christ. That is our plan. That should be our goal in life. So we need to know him. We need to search him, who he really is, and who he wants us to be. He came to this world as a man and an example to us, and as our Savior. Savior to us from our sins. And he will come back and rule forever. Jesus Christ, he has a plan that has not changed since the beginning of time and will not change in the future. And we all have the opportunity to be part of that great plan.